Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Less than 3 months ago, in mid-January 2025, 59-year-old Robert Procius was found dead, frozen to death, in his home just a few miles from mine, in the nearby city of Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Authorities discovered his body on January 24th during a welfare check and determined that he had been dead for approximately a week. The Cambria County Coroner, Jeff Lees, ruled that Mr. Procius died from hypothermia, classifying the death as accidental. The investigations of local authorities revealed that the gas and water utilities in Mr. Procius's home had been shut off for about 2 years. Although family members had been paying for his electricity and space heaters were present in the residence, they were not in use at the time. On the day his body was found, the indoor temperature was recorded at 18 degrees Fahrenheit. Mr. Procius's body temperature was measured to be 22 degrees. This occurred during a particularly bad cold snap, with much higher temperatures recorded just a few days before and a few days later. If he had been able to survive just that one night, he might have made it and lived through the remainder of the winter and still be alive today. Family members reported that Mr. Procius had previously applied for assistance from social programs, but did not receive help. Officials emphasized the importance of checking on family, friends, and neighbors during cold weather to prevent similar tragedies. Now, here we have a story that encapsulates what I have been saying for years. Inflation kills. Inflation of the money supply, which is inherent in the economic system that the Jewish minority uses to exploit us and which they imposed on us, causes each dollar to become worth less and less and less over time. I didn't know Robert Procius, but I imagine he was a lot like the hundreds of good white folks I've met here since I moved to Western Pennsylvania over a decade ago. Tens of thousands of jobs have been lost here in the rustiest part of the Rust Belt since Jew and billionaire imposed free trade became the law of the land, and American workers had to compete with Chinese and mestizos and other cheap labor. Literally compete with non-white workers who were willing to live in shacks and work for a handful of dollars a day. Dr. Pierce warned us back in the 1990s that if we allowed free trade, pretty soon Americans would be living in shacks and working for a handful of dollars a day. And that's pretty much where we're headed right now. White Americans lost their jobs by the millions, while Wall Street vampires made billions every week. And Johnstown was especially hard hit. By the 80s, the steel mills that were the lifeblood of the city were shut down. They still stand, shuttered and eerie and slowly decaying, even today, covering a huge and haunted-looking swath of the city. Not every one of those millions of fired workers was able to, quote-unquote, transition to service economy jobs, like vending cancer burgers or stocking shelves, like the glib politicians and hired talking heads on TV said they should. And those that did got paid just a few cents more than minimum wage. They probably were only a little better off at best than the people who just gave up and depended on charity or Social Security or public assistance. This is the story of millions of workers across America. Robert Procius, only 59 years old, didn't have enough income to keep the heat on. He had to let the gas company turn off his heat 2 years ago. And I can tell you for sure, I've looked into it, that is pretty hard to do. The gas company tries to work with the impoverished people around here and is pretty accommodating to people who are having a rough time and doesn't want too many incidents like this to happen. So Robert's inability to pay probably started a lot earlier than 2 years ago. And his water was turned off too around the same time. Imagine what his life was like. No running water. He decided he could only afford to keep the electricity on. And it was still on when he froze to death, partly due to the generosity of family members who helped him pay for it. But he also decided that this winter, at least, he couldn't afford to run any space heaters. So he piled more blankets on his body. That had always worked before. And fell asleep for the last time. Those blankets became his funeral shroud. Robert Procius was a typical stoic white man, too proud to apply for assistance for a very long time. When he finally did apply for assistance, he was refused. I'd speculate because his assets were too high, because they might have counted as an asset, his cold and waterless house, on paper worth several tens of thousands, but in reality, very hard to sell in this economically depressed area for anywhere near that. So he was less deserving of help than the propertyless blacks or non-white migrants who applied. And property taxes were probably part of Robert's equation, too. One fellow wrote recently about his own elderly father-in-law, quote, "My father-in-law works a part-time job and makes $12,000 a year. His property taxes are around $12,000 a year. Therefore, an old man has to work just to pay the government for a house he already owns." Close quote. And I would say, on top of that, the school those taxes are paying for is teaching his grandchildren and the innumerable hostile aliens with whom they are forced to associate that their ancestors were terrible racists and that ending their family lines forever by having their genitals cut off is a viable, even laudable, choice. Jewish bankers and other financial vultures who feed on this system of deliberate inflation effectively take a cut of every single transaction that takes place in our economy. They take a cut of every dollar that is brought into existence, each and every one of which is a debt, not an asset, a phony debt owed to the bankers as personal debt, business debt, and government debt, and paid and paid and paid forever by us in our taxes, in addition to the hidden tax of inflation. We were always told that the Jewish group B'nai B'rith that birthed the ADL was given its name because of circumcision. The words B'nai B'rith literally mean sons of the cut. But perhaps the cut that the organized Jews take of everyone's wealth is a hidden meaning behind the name, too. They always take their cut. How much have we paid in their hidden tax of inflation alone? It is worse, far worse than you think, if you have not studied this. We have paid almost everything to them. We have lost almost everything. We have paid for generations almost everything we earned and everything we own. People have been bamboozled by the money men into thinking that the money system is too complicated for us to understand, but it isn't. Think of the dollar in 1913, the year that the Federal Reserve was created at the instigation and to the specifications of the Jew-dominated bankers. That was a major decoupling of the paper dollar from gold and silver. It created a well of infinite money that could be tapped into at will by the banking system, one that didn't even require the permission of the government in order for profligate banks to grab some magically created money out of nothing whenever they needed some. This was followed in 1933 by FDR's theft of the people's gold, in 1965 by the theft of the people's silver, and in 1971 by the total repudiation of gold redemption, even for foreign banks and governments who up until that point could, unlike ordinary Americans, still trade dollars for gold. If you consider the official statistics, which try hard to underestimate inflation and make the Fed and the banks and the government look good, the admitted inflation is such that the U.S. dollar is now worth about 3 cents. And it is headed even lower than that, I can assure you, because more and more money will have to be created just to pay the monstrous and fictitious debt with which the Jewish banking system has saddled just the federal government alone. And it is money creation that is inflation. And this inflation causes prices to rise. So from 1913 to 2025, a dollar has fallen to 3 cents. In contrast, before the dollar was decoupled from gold and silver at the behest of the Jews, the dollar from 1800 to 1913, actually increased slightly in value, according to the CPI inflation calculator, which is available online. Quote, $1 in U.S. currency in 1800 would be worth the equivalent of $1.21 by 1913, a difference of plus 21 cents in 113 years. The dollar had an average deflation rate of minus 0.21% per year from 1800 to 1913, producing a cumulative price change of minus 21.43%. Close quote. So, even though there were dishonest bankers and plenty of fractional reserve trickery going on before the Jews succeeded in establishing the Fed and freeing all bankers from the formerly required redemption of paper for real money, the value of the dollar was actually growing over time. Then came the massive, and partly illegal, by the way, immigration of Jews into the U.S. in the late 19th century, their quick domination of New York City and the nation's financial system, and they established the fraudulent system that enslaves and impoverishes us all today. The fall of the dollar by 97% means that they have stolen far more than 97% of the wealth we would have without their thievery. Imagine how investments would have grown. And I am not even counting the inconceivably huge bailout these bankers got in 2008 when their House of Cards fractional reserve system collapsed. I see row after row, mile after mile, of dilapidated houses and business buildings in my area that the good folks of my 95% white county cannot afford to keep up anymore. They are homeowners, as perhaps Robert Proshus was, but they are impoverished by free trade and inflation. They don't have the money. The money they put in the bank was purposely turned into a constantly melting ice cube by the bankers, who not only want to continuously fleece us, but also want to keep us poor, one, so that we have to keep working harder and harder for them and their corporations, and two, so that we don't have the time and disposable income to politically organize and oppose them. So, even if these good folks tried to save, they really couldn't save. The purchasing power of their saved dollars was all eaten up by inflation. And with Robert Proshus, we learn that many of these good folks not only can't keep up the maintenance on their properties, but they can't even keep the heat on, or even the damned water. And more of them are going to die, unsung and undefended, just like Robert did. Consider another example. Imagine a young widow who was delighted to buy what seemed to be a fantastically generous $800 per month annuity with her late husband's life insurance policy back in 1975. She could live reasonably well on that $800 a month. No problem, right? But now she is old. It's 2025. She probably cannot work, even if she wants to. But she was set for life in 1975, she thought. She thought she wouldn't have to worry about money again, ever. But no. Thanks to the Jews and the other profiteers who control the financial system of this country, that $800 a month is now a joke. Not even half enough to live at the poverty level. Her wealth has been mostly stolen by the parasite overclass. No negotiation allowed, no lawsuit allowed, no recourse whatsoever. And what about younger folks who do work and can, in theory anyway, negotiate their wages? They too are ravaged by the parasites and their inflation. As a worker, unless you renegotiate your pay constantly, multiple times every year, and totally succeed every time, inflation is essentially a never-ending compounded loss. Workers don't have savvy lawyers or CPAs or the power to unilaterally raise prices like big business or the big boys on Wall Street do. So they are always the goats, always falling behind, always working harder for their Hebrew masters, and almost always living paycheck to paycheck. I see it every day. We are slaves on their plantation. We would be hundreds of times wealthier and more powerful and in charge of our own destiny and able to ensure our children have a good future if this massive bloated tick, this ugly parasite, did not have its mandibles attached to our very bodies through their dishonest money system. I will return to this topic. It deserves a book or a series of books, really, in the near future. Until then, keep on buying a little anti-banker money, Bitcoin, BTC, every day, and keep sending a tithe to the National Alliance every month. The Alliance is building a clean, decent, honest, all-white community of the conscious right now to ensure our folks survive and thrive and break free from their slavery into the sunlight once again. We'd like your help in doing that.